You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Trump threatens the country with the Insurrection Act, says he will release the military if the governors don't toughen up. Meanwhile, his defense secretary tells those same governors, dominate the battle space. Protests and looting across the country. New York City extends its 8 p.m. curfew for another 5 days. Meanwhile, Justin Amash and Democrats plan legislation to end qualified immunity, to end the 1033 program, and more. Independent autopsy shows that Floyd died of asphyxiation as a function of having cops on his neck and back. Meanwhile, the Louisville mayor fires its police chief in the wake of killing an unarmed black man during the protests. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will revisit throwing 130,000 people off its voter rolls. Judges uphold vote-by-mail and absentee voting in Nevada and Virginia, respectively. Oh, and incidentally, there's a bunch of primaries today. Maryland, Indiana, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, Baltimore, D.C. The IRS starved of resources, letting high-income scofflaws walk. And we still have a pandemic going on, so you'll be happy to know that Anthony Fauci hasn't talked with Donald Trump in 2 weeks. And the testing czar position in the federal government is to be eliminated. Lastly, as the Senate zeroes in on sitting the 200th new conservative federal judge, where are Pelosi and the Democrats? Vacation. Vacation. All this and more on today's program. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We had other things scheduled for today. Maybe we'll get to them tomorrow. Maybe we'll get to them next week. But we will have those guests on. But yesterday, of course, another day of police violence, of uprising, of protests, of some looting, of Donald Trump really starting to feel comfortable, or at least it feels like there was a decision made yesterday or in the past couple of days that the best course of action for Trump is to really heighten the contradictions, I guess, right? We would say to really promote violent polarization in the country. I mean, I don't know how else to express this. And, you know, it is, it's depressing. It is, disturbing. I think some people, frankly, are invigorated by it a little bit. Others, not so much. Count me in the not so much crowd. I don't know where we go from here, frankly. And, I gotta tell you, it also extends to the show. Like I spent 7 hours on Twitter last night. And, just because of the nature of the work that we all do here, we are that type of people. And it gets, I'm sure many of you were just, sitting there and absorbing as much information as possible. And it's disturbing. It's really, disturbing time in the country. We are seeing some hints that maybe some lawmakers will at least be pushing certain legislation. Will it pass? Of course not. But we're starting to set some markers. New York State, the state Senate is, I've seen it described as flirting with the idea of making the police records of complaints and misconduct by police officers, making that public. And of course, the police union in New York City in particular said they will go to war over that, which I don't know, maybe they've been just practicing on the streets of New York City. But we will get all into all of this today. And, you know, I got to tell you, I've been doing this for 15 years and don't really have a great sense of how to navigate all of this. We've pushed ads for the past couple of days. We're going to do some ads today because, at one point we need to pay the bills. And it is a weird, the juxtaposition between the crap show that is going on and sort of doing anything that seems like normal is just a weird experience. And, it's been that way in many respects throughout this whole COVID-19 era. And we still have all that the virus is still here. John Barry was helpful, I guess, in sort of saying like, it's going to be here. And we don't really have a plan on how to live with it. Maybe we get lucky. I suspect what will happen is we're going to get lucky for some period of time and then we will get unlucky. But it is still here. And we will talk about those things. Let's just start with this. This is how yesterday basically started. Donald Trump is on the phone with governors. I haven't heard of any governors who have come out and said, that was a great inspirational phone call. Someone leaked the audio. I've seen reports where, and we're going to talk obviously about the assault on protesters in Washington, D.C. to clear the way for Trump to have a photo op in front of a church holding a Bible upside down. I don't know if he did that on purpose or just he has no idea which way the letters go. But prior to that happening, Donald Trump got on the phone with some governors and was giving them a pep talk. Let's play this.
We're strongly looking for arrests. You have to get much tougher. You're going to get over it. I know Governor Walz is on the phone and we spoke. And I fully agree with the way he handled it the last couple of days. I asked him to do that. Get a lot of men. We have all the men and women that you need. If people aren't calling them up, you have to dominate. If you don't dominate, you're wasting your time. They're going to run over you. You're going to look like a bunch of jerks. You have to dominate. And you have to arrest people, and you have to try people. And they have to go to jail for long periods of time. These are radicals, and they're anarchists. They are anarchists. Whether you like it or not, I know some of you guys are different persuasion. fully understand it. I understand both. I'm for everybody. I'm representing everybody. I'm not representing radical right, radical left. I'm representing everybody. But you have to know what you're dealing with. That it's happened before. It's happened numerous times. And the only time it's successful is when you're weak. And most of you are weak. Washington was under very good control, but we're going to have it under much more control. We're pouring in, we're going to pull in thousands of people. And we were under guard of the D.C. police, the mayor of Washington, D.C. And Secret Service did a very good job around the White House, but their primary function is around the White House. And we're going to clamp down very, very strong. But you have to arrest people, you have to track people, you have to put them in jail for 10 years, and you'll never see this stuff again. And you have to let them know now.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but that's bat crap crazy. First of all, governors are not in charge of sentencing. I mean, aside from that, but this idea that he's on the phone with these governors telling them that they've got to crack down. I mean, he was foreshadowing what was going to happen in Washington, D.C. later that day. And he is calling on these governors to bring out the National Guard and, I don't know, do stuff like what we saw in Minnesota, where they were walking down the street yelling at people to stay in their homes and then firing rubber bullets at them to get them to go inside off of their porches without any warning. I mean, there's images like this throughout the country. We've got some footage of what happened in Seattle, where they essentially decide to disperse peaceful protesters with military hardware. It's nuts. And, you know, we got a speech from Joe Biden this morning. Apparently we had a speech from Nancy Pelosi. I missed that. They released a statement yesterday, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. That was, it's embarrassing to even read. If you want to signal that what's going on is wrong, what you do is you say, we're not going to have our vacation for the House. We're going to come back. Or at the very least, we're going to vote remotely. I mean, do something. Do something that signals that you take this seriously. Because, you know, I have always considered it to be a bit of a fantasy that, or fantastical, that, you know, Donald Trump is going to become some type of authoritarian despot. But, you know, because I was always wondering, like, where, him and what army? Well, it turns out to be, you know, probably the cops. And I don't know if it would be the military. I think the military is a little more professional than these cops, for sure. But it's also this Insurrection Act. You know, it's unclear exactly where the president can exercise it. But we will see. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Like I said, we're going to do some ads today. My kids are pretty adamant about this, I got to be honest with you. In fact, they were going to record something, but we won't play it this time. But this episode is brought to you by Magic Spoon. As you know, breakfast cereal, great for kids. You have some great memories as a kid of breakfast cereal. Easy. Sit down. I remember. I mean, we all remember the mainstays. But you also realize, particularly when you have kids yourself, that these breakfast cereals, they're full of junk. Well, Magic Spoon is a new cereal company that's discovered a way to recreate your favorite childhood cereals with zero sugar, 12 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. It's sort of nuts, but it really does. Like, I can't remember what the Count Dracula, and then there was the Boo Berry, and then there was the There's the other one with the tiger. I mean, I guess I can mention these. I don't know if I'm allowed to. And then the one with the toucan. And you can get a variety pack that lets you try them all four. My kids love this stuff. They love it. I like the cocoa one, but I would be lying if I didn't dip into their fruity a little bit. But the kids love it. And it's keto friendly. It's gluten free. It's grain free. It's soy free. It's low carb and it's GMO free. It's very rare that you have an instance where you feed your kids something and they're excited about it and it's not full of a pound of sugar. They love it. They really do. Go to magicspoon.com/majorityreport. Grab a variety pack. Try it today. Use the promo code MajorityReport at checkout. Get free shipping. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, they give you 100% happiness money-back guarantee. So if you don't like it, they'll refund your money. They don't ask any questions. That's magicspoon.com/majorityreport. Code is MajorityReport for free shipping. Also, you got a lot of time at home these days. Well, whether you're alone or whether you're with others, break out Hunt-A-Killer and start to feel like that time is worthwhile. It's a murder mystery game, and it is fun to play, great way to play teenage kids. But also, I mean, everything is from my perspective here, right? So it's all like, if it works for my children, I'm very excited. Hunt-A-Killer reinvents the way that we interact with murder mysteries. So you're not just watching it on TV. It's not just flowing through. You're not just guessing as you watch TV. You're actually working your way through a murder mystery with all of the elements of the case. The subscription box has over 2,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot. And what happens, you get a new delivery. You sift through the documents. You sift through the audio recordings, case files. You eliminate suspects until you crack the case. They even have a free online community that is spoiler-free and has over 100,000 members. So you can share theories and help each other out, get clues, spoiler-free. Don't go on there and blow it. Plus, part of the proceeds for every box goes to the Cold Case Foundation. Very fun to play. It's tough enough that you're challenged, but it's not, you know, nobody's getting frustrated in our household. It's really fun. Mile and I have gone through a couple of mysteries now. And it's a great way to like not have a screen in front of their face for, you know, maybe 4 seconds at a time. Right now, just for our listeners, you can go to huntakiller.com/majority. Use the promo code majority at checkout for 20% off your first box. Head to huntakiller.com/majority. 20% off. Show your support for our show. That's huntakiller.com/majority. As always, we'll put all the links to this in the podcast and YouTube subscriptions. Let's get more to what took place yesterday. So after Donald Trump gets on the phone with governors and tells them they got to get harder and be a tougher, they got to be more tough guys and gals, I guess. He goes on to give a speech at the White House. And I don't know if we'll hear it in any of these clips, but literally ongoing. I don't know. Maybe, is it even a mile away? Maybe a little bit more, maybe a little less. You had peaceful protesters congregating, and then all of a sudden, totally assaulted by police, by military helicopters. But here is the first part of Trump's speech. Apparently, they've decided in the White House that this is an opportunity for Trump to resurrect the silent majority of Americans. And that is, I don't think there is the silent majority of Americans that he thinks there is. But here's that speech.
And killed. These are not acts of peaceful protest. These are acts of domestic terror. The destruction of innocent life, and the spilling of innocent blood is an offense to humanity and a crime against God. America needs creation, not destruction. Cooperation, not contempt.
Pause it for 1 second.
Security.
Have I missed something? Has there been any bloodshed of innocent people that has not been perpetrated by the police? I'm serious, guys. Are you aware of any reports of certainly of anybody killed by the protesters? Because we do know there have been at least one instance that I can think of at the top of my head of protesters dying or right. people thought to be protesters dying. I can't remember any of that.
There's been vigilantes with swords and bows and arrows that have been beaten, but
people who've gone down to, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about innocent people.
I don't know if a guy pulling his car up, stepping out of his car with a bow and arrow and firing at protesters constitutes innocent, but continue.
Not anarchy. Healing, not hatred. Justice, not chaos. This is our mission, and we will succeed 100%. We will succeed. Our country always wins. That is why I am taking immediate presidential action to stop the violence and restore security and safety in America. I am mobilizing all available federal resources, civilian and military, to stop the rioting and looting, to end the destruction and arson, and to protect the rights of law-abiding Americans, including your Second Amendment rights. Therefore, the following measures are going into effect immediately. First, we are ending the riots and lawlessness that has spread throughout our country. We will end it now. Today, I have strongly recommended to every governor to deploy the National Guard in sufficient numbers that we dominate the streets. Mayors and governors must establish an overwhelming law enforcement presence until the violence has been quelled. If a city or state refuses to take the actions that are necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them. I am also taking swift and decisive action to protect our great capital, Washington, D.C. What happened in this city last night was a total disgrace.
All right. So there you have him. And one of the things that stuck out there, I mean, obviously, we heard that audio of Trump calling the governors. And I should say that apparently he did place a call before that from the White House, before the call to the governors. And it was to his buddy Vladimir Putin. I suspect just for some best practices, you know, advice. How do you guys crack down on dissent in your country? Maybe he just needed to be bucked up, told that he can be a tough guy.
Copy your homework, Vlad.
Yeah. Hey, just one question. Like, what do you guys do with this? I also thought it was interesting that he mentioned the Second Amendment.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That to me struck me as basically is it really a dog whistle? I mean, when you're talking about protests and you're talking about violence and you want to de-escalate, are you going to remind people that, hey, you have a Second Amendment right? Bring out your guns.
It's more like a coast is clear sort of signal.
It is. Exactly. It is. Don't worry, guys. We are right here. You want to go on with and break out the weapons? We got your back. This is him basically saying to, you know, his supporters, like when he would go into those rallies. You get sued, I'll cover your expenses. So then he goes on to talk about how he is the law and order president now.
Property. We are putting everybody on warning. Our 7 o'clock curfew will be strictly enforced. Those who threaten innocent life and property will be arrested, detained, and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I want the organizers of this terror to be on notice that you will face severe criminal penalties and lengthy sentences in jail. This includes Antifa and others who are leading instigators of this violence. One law and order, and that is what it is. One law. We have one beautiful law. And once that is restored and fully restored, we will help you.
Oh, pause it for a second. Go back. He misread it. It said once law and order is restored. And then he goes on with the speech, but he read it as one law and order.
One law.
One law.
One law, everybody.
Beautiful
one law.
Law. There he is again. Go back. What an idiot.
One
at least you're going to practice this speech as you start to roll out the military.
Jail. This includes Antifa and others who are leading instigators of this violence. One law and order. And that is what it is. One law. We have one beautiful law. And just once that is restored and fully restored, we will help you. We will help your business and we will help your family. America is founded upon the rule of law. It is the foundation of our prosperity, our freedom, and our very way of life. But where there is no law, there is no opportunity. Where there is no justice, there is no liberty. Where there is no safety, there is no future. We must never give in to anger or hatred.
There you go. A Stephen Miller special for you, ladies and gentlemen.
You can hear explosions in the background as you're saying that.
Just in that last, yeah, just play that last like 20 seconds.
I have a field recording from one of the pool reporters that we can play to demonstrate that.
Okay, all right, yeah, play that. Because while he's giving this speech, folks, there are military personnel starting to attack protesters, and we will go to that other scene. But here, just listen here.
He will not have died in vain, but we cannot allow the righteous cries of peaceful protesters to be drowned out by an angry mob, the biggest victims of the rioting.
You could hear those flashbangs in the background. And that is the police, but also the military, going after peaceful protesters. Let's play this clip. This is number two. This is a clip. Garrett Hake, I think his last name is. He is a MSNBC reporter. He was on the scene. And there's been a couple instances of like MSNBC reporters, but a bunch of different ones who have been in the middle of these protests. And just like, I think Ali Velshi the other day, I don't know if he was in Minneapolis, saying this has been completely, totally peaceful. And then the cops come in and start firing weapons and throwing flashbangs. And here is Garrett Hake. This is during Donald Trump's speech in the Rose Garden and just before they're starting to clear this area out because they want to show it's a sign of it's a sign of force. I don't know where they got this idea. I imagine they had planned this before their conversation with Putin in the morning, because for days now we noticed this on Monday that they were talking about Antifa. They had made this about Antifa as opposed to Black Lives Matter, and about they had sort of depoliticized or drained the content out of these protests. And And this was clearly a way of showing that Donald Trump controls, I don't know, I guess a 1 mile square radius of Washington, D.C. Here is that report from Garrett Hake.
Within the last 15 minutes, mounted police have been coming down the street. You're going to see them in the frame now, using flashbangs in front of them and mounted police to clear what has been an entirely peaceful protest. Not 98%, not 99%, but 100% peaceful protest here today. People throwing, there was no throwing of water bottles, there was no throwing of objects. But a short time ago, mounted police officers have been clearing the street. Tony, if you could pan to the right, I want to show the military police. I want to show the military police on the side of the street. Over the last half hour, we've had military police, we've had Secret Service officers, we've had park police, and now we've had National Guardsmen lining the fence. They've been stepping up closer and closer and closer over the last few minutes. You can see them lining the fence just a short time ago. We heard them firing those pepper balls into the crowd here as they've been trying to disperse people. You can see these officers aiming at the protesters who are here in the park as we're being cleared back along the sidewalk here in front of 8th Street. Again, from where I stood, I could see absolutely nothing. Hang on a second here. Ma'am, are you all right?
She's not fucking all right, man.
I got hit bad.
All right. I had to pull the mic there, but you could hear her say she got hit bad. Look, Ari, obviously this is an incredibly volatile situation here, and we're going to try to keep our distance from it as best we can. But this is by far the largest law enforcement presence I've seen in this park in the last 3 days, and by far the most aggressive action I've seen by law enforcement in this park in the last 3 days.
I mean, there you have it. I mean, the reporter said 100%, not 98, not 99, 100% peaceful protest. And they're fired upon with flashbangs and with those pepper pellet guns. This is what's going down. And, you know, I for the life of me, I don't have a sense of how this is registering with, you know, the broad American public. But my sense is there is not the, this is not 1968. There is not a moral majority out there that is so firmly, you know, repelled and thinks what's going on is alien. You know, a lot of our population in this country, as opposed to, I think, what it was like in the 60s, frankly. There's a huge percentage of our population who I think have been engaged in some form of protest, right? Some form of marching. You know, even if it's like Earth Day or the environment, I think there's just like broad swaths of the population whose equivalents 50, 60 years ago, have engaged in some form of civil protest, even if it's not particularly, you know, aggressive, even if it was family friendly, people roll, you know, marching. People have marched for things. And I think they are just more sympathetic to what was going on here. I mean, I don't know how Trump thinks that he's going to be able to paint these protests as anything other than being peaceful when that's what they are, primarily. I guess we'll see. But why did the following... So you've got... This is the sequencing here. Trump on the phone, does a little foreign policy, calls Putin, gets some best practices, goes into the Rose Garden, announces that he's going to get, gets on the phone with the governors, tells them to get tough. You got to break out your National Guard. You got to quell these protests. You got to put people in jail. Then he gets into the Rose Garden, talks about how he'd said that to the governors. Makes me think that audio was leaked by the White House. announces that if the governors don't break out the National Guard, he's going to send in the military. That'll be interesting to see what happens when the military tries to cross into the borders, let's say, of New York State, and they're met with National Guardsmen. That'll be an interesting development. And then he simultaneously orders the military police and the DC police and Secret Service to clear out a park so that he can go and make this walk to a church. I think it's the St. John's Church. And he's holding out a Bible. And we can't see this in the walk, but what's interesting, to the left of where he is, Ivanka's there wearing a mask. She's the only person wearing a mask. And when she's in sight of Trump, she doesn't wear the mask. When she's out of sight from Trump, she wears the mask. It's sort of fascinating, but I don't know if we have a clip of that, but play this.
Love it.
He's asked, is that your Bible? And he says, it's a Bible.
Amazing.
Amazing. And then I think he's asked, like, have you read it or something? I can't remember exactly what the next line was. But there's
Donald Trump 2 Corinthians
photo op. I mean, I honestly, like, if I could expend a, I don't know how much money I would do, but I would love to be able to sort of like be a fly on the wall of folks that are ostensibly this is geared for, right? I mean, this isn't for us. We can see him, you know, we can hear the explosions in the background. This is strictly for his authoritarian followers. They must, or at least the White House thinks that these people are really going to lap this stuff up.
Yeah, we have the sizzle reel that they put together afterwards and put out in the, you know, dictatorial propaganda style, if you want to see that.
Oh, yeah. Let's take a look at how they thought this was going to read to their people.
So absurd. Okay.
Oh, well, that was definitely worth it.
We need to have a challenge where people just score that with different kinds of music and sound effects. Him yeah, waddling back to the White House.
Can we play that again? That thing yeah. is the, first of all, the production value on it sucks. And it really does look like, it looks like what it was, which is, I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to stand in front of a church and pump a Bible and then walk back with a
real hasty.
Yeah. Why did they show him like walking to there and back? That's,
I don't just quite get what this is about.
I can walk in the city at daytime still. Love it.
Even the movie for me.
Not still holding the Bible. Still got. Oh, where'd the Bible go? I don't know where it is.
I'm putting it up.
I lost the Bible. I lost the Bible halfway through.
Like,
he misplaces the Bible.
Nobody. I wonder if like nobody, like if the idea was that he walks alone. Like I wonder if that was like that. I mean, I imagine that's all the imaging, right? I mean, that's all there's some theory behind that. Somebody was like, we need to be able to show that you can walk anywhere in the Capitol, as if this is.
I think it's a statement. You know, speaking against him being in the bunker on Sunday and being a pussy.
Going across the street?
Yep.
Good job.
Right. That's what it is. It's trying to prove that I'm not bunkering anymore. Got to show that I'm willing to get out there and walk. It's
I'm just worried about where that Bible went.
I wonder if that is the longest walk he's taken in decades. I almost couldn't make it. It was exhausting.
It could have came back too.
The New York Times had a garbage headline about yesterday. Something about chaos breaking out and Trump vowing to control it. Here is the Washington Post headline of what we saw yesterday in this whole episode. And it is, credit where credit's due. Police gas, force out peaceful protesters so Trump can pose for photos at a church. Somebody better be cutting up that video right now and making a lot of funny. We got to get on this immediately. You know what? Let's go to the phones. I just turned on the phone. I meant to do that earlier. I want to take a couple of calls. We're going to take calls in the fun half as well. Let's just take a look at this. This is from Seattle. There's two shots here that we have of this. This is another example of this. I mean, it's like when Occupy was starting to get rolled up, we know that there was coordination amongst police departments through the Department of Homeland Security, through these fusion centers. And there is a real sense, and I don't know how, if we will find out that there's been some variant of this, but there's a real sense that the police departments, at least themselves, have decided this is not about keeping order. This is about establishing what we're willing to do. And here is, watch this overhead shot in Seattle. We then will go to the ground in the next clip here. But watch this because it's pretty shocking. I mean, granted, the protesters are chanting and they're cheering, but they're behind a barricade. And these are trained police officers in full riot gear who are under no threat, but you can't quite tell from this, but let's just watch. Just start spraying completely out of the blue, and just start spraying people with pepper spray, and then they just start dropping flashbangs on them into the crowd. They throw in these things. Rather indiscriminately, and you could hear them firing now their rubber bullet guns. The protesters are running away.
Now it looks like a riot.
Yes. Now let's play what happened is the commanding officer claimed that they were getting pelted with stuff and they were responding. So let's go down to a down on the ground view of what was going on there and see if you can see any of that, because you can't. Now, we don't know who this video is from. The last one was from Seattle Reddit. This one is, this is from Via Claire Elliott Yaza, but I don't know who took it exactly. There was nothing on there with the video. So apologies for lack of credit. But, this guy was trying to basically, you know, de-escalate, but I think he could see what was going on.
Now they done brought out the troopers. And I'm going to tell you something. The troopers ain't got no problem firing. These guys, the troopers ain't got no issue letting loose. We saw the troopers on Saturday. Now
right,
this situation is escalating.
Second. So what he's just said is that it appears that the local police are replaced with the state troopers. And he that makes him nervous because he realizes these guys have a greater propensity to let loose, but go ahead.
If you know anybody, if you know, tag and share this stream. This is right now live at East Precinct. The officers have changed. The officers have changed their posture. This gentleman right here grabbed the barricade, and now you see they're reinforcing the barricade. We have not heard an audible anything from an authority here. The umbrellas are out. We're getting pushed back. Don't spray that shit. Don't spray it. Don't spray it. Okay, the umbrellas are here. You see people put out the umbrellas to block the spray. To block the spray. It's rallying right here. Hold on. Let me bring it down. Let's just try to de-escalate. Let's try to de-escalate this. Let's just try to bring this down, guys. You know, it's a lot of worse shit than going to jail. Like a flashbang shrapnel or something. Let's bring this down. Let's bring this shit down. So we see him grabbing an umbrella. There's the spray. It's on now. It's on. East Precinct, they're losing control. State police are trying to open the barricade. They're putting the pepper spray in the air. Share this stream. Tag it. Share this stream. This, God damn it, they got me, you motherfuckers. I'm going to eat this shit, though. There it is.
It's a crash.
I got pepper spray all over me. They're not moving. I got sprayed. But shit, I've been through worse. Barricade is up. The officers are coming with the spray. And this is exactly what's happened here. Get the fuck out of my way. Let's see here. This is what's going on. I only got one eye. These are flashbangs. These are flashbangs. They're deploying fire. Hey, bring this shit down. Bring it down. This is
That's all we found of that live stream. But it's pretty apparent that in the moments before, I mean, just at the moment they start spraying, there is absolutely no reason for them to spray. I don't even think they said disperse, frankly. But I mean, who cares if they did? There is no threat to any of those cops. There's no indication that there's any threat to anything there. But this is the posture that police departments have been taking across the country. And, you know, I don't know what ends up mitigating this. I don't know what ends up being the limiting principle. We had a situation in Washington, D.C. last night where like 100 protesters were chased by the cops and they got and some guy apparently just let them into their house. And the cops stayed on that street out in front. And I'm talking like 50, 100 cops just waiting for them to come out. For all I know, they're still there. It's like a hostage situation, like a reverse hostage situation. It's very messed up. And I don't know how this. I really don't know how this ends. Let's go to calling from a 360 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from? Oh, hold on 1 second. You there?
Hello, this is Justin from Washington.
Justin from Washington, what's on your mind?
Well, my very first protest was Saturday in Seattle, and I was there right before the gas and flashbangs, and it was peaceful, totally peaceful until that happened. I didn't see the rest of it as I got out of there, so I was parked really close. I am now protesting yesterday, and I'm looking to protest today. And
who
we
is out
all
there?
Cannot Justin, stop protesting. We
who is out there?
Do this every day.
Who is out there? I mean, give me a sense of the folks in Seattle that you're seeing at these protests.
They're just regular people. They've got the signs. They're just chanting, standing around, pushing for change.
20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. I mean, what? Give me a relative breakdown of.
Oh, number. There was like 100, 200 people where I was at the very end.
No,
before
I'm
they
talking about
the gas.
The ages of people.
Oh, all over the place. From they're bringing kids all the way up to 70 or so. There's one guy out there with drums chanting and yelling and helping us communicate and chant. There was a lot of that for about 2 hours until 3 o'clock when they attacked us. And there was no reason for it. It's totally ridiculous.
Yeah, I appreciate you going out there. Stay safe, Justin.
Yes, I'll try to stay safe and keep my cell phone and keep watching them.
Okay.
Thank you for what you guys do, too.
All right. Well,
talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye. Calling from an 801 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Sam. This is Kyle from Salt Lake City. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, Kyle from Salt Lake City. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to first say that, unfortunately, I was a victim of some looting that took place last week. And by a victim of looting, I mean that a private equity company acquired the company that I worked for and fired 150 of us last week during a pandemic that had nothing to do with the pandemic. So, yeah, that was some cool looting that took place that I'm not seeing any outrage about. So I figured I would share because I think that's pretty egregious thing to do at this time.
It's unbelievable. And they clearly use the pandemic as an excuse. I mean, I think, frankly, there's a
yep.
lot of that that's going on.
So we got completely gutted. And so that was, you know, there was a good Onion article that was just like, looters failed to form a private equity firm first. And that was where they went wrong before, you know, robbing a Target or whatever.
Do you mind telling me the company or no?
Probably could keep it on the DL a little bit, but it was a tech company here in Salt Lake.
Sorry,
not going
to
go into any more detail than that on the company itself. But also, I mean, like we've been doing super well too because we are online. We're a company that was benefiting from a lot of people spending a lot of time on their computers. I'll just say that.
Okay, fair enough.
I'll just briefly talk about the protests in Salt Lake if you'd like to hear. And
sure.
I could go into the All Lives Matter Archer as well because he's actually still not arrested. He did an interview from home yesterday.
Oh, was he in Salt Lake City?
Yeah.
All right. You know what? Let's play this. We were talking about this earlier. I don't know if we have the footage. There's two clips, right? We have the clip yesterday of him coming out. So the first clip is this guy basically driving his car into the middle of a protest and getting out, putting an arrow, I don't know if he had a quiver or what, putting an arrow into his bow, pulling back, firing the bow, missing a protester. And all right, so
also yelling All Lives Matter before taking aim at the protest.
Do we have this clip, Brendan? Okay, I'll play this one. There he is.
Look at this!
kid hit my car?
You call yourself an American?
Yes, I'm American. All lives matter.
That's right, but they won't matter until we're... Don't you dare! This is his car. This is his car.
Fuck him off!
So, and I, as far as I could tell, I don't know if it was a compound bow or not, but it doesn't matter. But that, it would if it actually hit you. And so, I mean, that's a hunting bow. And
yeah, so can I talk about like what happened with that whole thing? Because he tried to so that happened, and he immediately got pulled by the news who were there. And
well, wait a second, we have that clip, I think. So
he gets,
as you can see, he was rushed by all the protesters and they beat him up. And Brendan, do you have the next clip?
I need to look for that.
Okay. And so he goes, apparently, you know, he goes to, I don't know if the hospital or where it was, but the local news interviews him. And apparently, I don't know how they didn't get the whole story.
But no idea. No clue.
And do you know that he's going to claim in this clip, as Brendan finds it, that his car was set on fire? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah. So it actually was. It was kind of confusing because, you know, so this was on Saturday. The protest started pretty early, and it had been very peaceful throughout the morning and afternoon, mainly because the city and the police made a very conscious decision to let the protesters, you know, do some graffiti, throw some eggs or whatever, and just march very peacefully. In fact, like, we were outside the precinct and all the cops were just inside, like, looking out. It's like a very glass building and they were all just looking outside from inside the building. So they had made that conscious decision to not escalate things at a certain point. And I don't know what exactly flipped to make all the cops and the National Guard come out. But at some point, there was someone who was not happy with the protests. They ran into some protesters with their car. I didn't see that one on the news, but I have some friends who were right behind the car and then got that one on video. And so soon after that, there was an empty cop car that was flipped over and lit on fire in the middle of a major road in Salt Lake. And that's when things really turned up a notch, and like the National Guard came in, our governor, and like a lot of the local Republican officials, started like really freaking out about it. And so that's when they brought everyone in. And soon after that is when the archer showed up as well.
Okay. So the archer gets in his car, sees this on TV probably, and he drives down there, gets out of his car.
Oh yeah.
With his
car. So we had been like monitoring, because on Twitter we had been getting some like messages from guys who are like, I mean, so every time like Governor Herbert or whoever sends out a tweet about the protests, you get a bunch of guys that are like, if you guys don't protect the city, like, we're gonna show up and do that same thing. So I was expecting there to be some guys like that. We had seen some Proud Boys earlier in the day, but I didn't expect that type of weaponry from these militiamen. So there, I mean, I expected someone to show up and kind of like,
now,
agitating people.
The guy's obviously somewhat disturbed, right? I mean, you know,
absolutely.
I mean, absolutely. Which is not even to say that
because I saw a tweet that said he, like, his car had been burned, but it was a picture of a cop car. But it did turn out that his car was burned.
I got to be honest with you.
I don't know if Brendan found
the
clip.
I'm not surprised if his car was burnt, because he went out there with a compound bow and is firing at people. This is a bow that is, you know, this is a hunting bow. This is not.
Yeah, did Brendan find the clip of him lying about what happened?
Well, here is the interview, and it's, you know, look, you're going to go and interview somebody and get their side of the story. You may want to just sort of double check on this, but here is the news report. Go ahead.
You guys, tell me your name one more time.
Brandon McCormick.
Brandon McCormick. He says his car was turned over and set on fire because he yelled, "All lives matter." What happened?
I got beat up. Well, of course I got beat up when I yelled, "All lives matter." Then I pulled out weapons. Then I got beat up some more. Then the cops grabbed me and my car got totaled. My phone, everything. I lost everything. Coming down here to try to protect them with what weapons I had. because I am a tax felon. I've changed my life, and I back up the law enforcement. You know, I know some cops are bad. I know some people, all races are bad.
Did the police come and rescue you, or what happened?
Finally. But I lost my car. I lost my phone.
How badly is your car damaged?
Well, I seen it on fire, so it's totaled. And everything I had, and I had probably another $1,000 worth of stuff in my
car. And what happened to the people who turned your car? Nothing.
I don't know if it got turned over. I just know it got totaled.
Can you ask him, was he in the car when the protesters approached him and tried to flip the car over?
Were you in the car when they turned it over?
No, they didn't. I don't know if they turned it over or not. They beat me up, and the cops came and got me.
You were in the car at the time?
Yes, and then they torched it after the cops took me, including my phone. I can't even call for a ride. So I've been marching with these people all the way down here and all the way down here trying to convince them all lives matter. These cops didn't do it. Some cops are bad. Some cops are...
How did you get hurt on your forehead?
Because I yelled out my window, cops...
Did somebody hit you with something?
Yes, two black African-Americans. They beat me through my open window that I yelled out, all lives matter.
All right. All right.
I mean, this is, you know, the guy's just lying through his teeth. We just watch what happened. I mean, and I can assure you, far more people saw that local news report than the bow and arrow that came out and fired at somebody.
Sam, the good thing, though, is they did. If that was the Fox 13 clip, they did issue a correction later after getting the footage. But it was insane that they let him go on like that in the first place. And he, you know, he is very disturbed. And right. him straight up saying it was African Americans that did that to him. You can see in the clip, it was mainly white people that, like, you know, beating the shit out of him after he attempted to murder people. There were, you know, tons of, like, it was a very, very diverse crowd yesterday. You asked the Seattle guy what the age breakdown was. It was mainly a younger crowd, late teens, 20s and 30s. There were some older people as well. A lot of the, like, our local socialist groups were involved. PSL did a very peaceful protest yesterday to try to kind of fix the narrative that happened with local news here, because, I mean, this is... Stuff like this doesn't really happen in Salt Lake very often, despite having, like, we don't have our police forces here don't have a very good track record. And this was pretty big news on all the local channels. So, that guy is just something else. But it's at least they issued a correction later on in the evening.
Kyle, appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.
Thanks. Let's head to the fun half. We will take more phone calls. We will go over some more footage. Do we have, is Nomi on the line?
Yes.
All right, let's bring her in. In the meantime, we should just remind you, this program relies on your support. You can become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. If you're going through some financial stress right now or anticipate going through some financial stress, still want the fun half of the program, send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. If you're going through some financial stress and you're a member, head over into your membership. You can adjust your membership. If you go through the process of canceling, we can hook you up with a fix for you that will work for you. So check that out. Also, tonight is Tuesday. Michael Brooks Show happening tonight, live, 7 p.m., patreon.com/TMBS, and on YouTube, of course, The Michael Brooks Show. Matt, do you know who's on tonight?
I do, yes. Chuka Ejekam and Matt Chrisman are on tonight, and Artesia Balthrop in the post game.
All right, so that should be a fun night over there, I'm sure. Lots to talk about on the unraveling of the country. And joining us now for the fun half, but also to tell us about what she's doing on her show this week, Nomi Kikans. Nomi, what's been going on down in your neck of the woods?
Well, there's just like so much of the country, there's a statewide curfew, except as far as I know, and I've been checking in Tucson where I am, it hasn't brewed up near, it's nowhere near the rest of the country, even Phoenix. So It's a little strange that there's a curfew in other parts of the state. And don't forget, this is a Republican state, Governor Ducey. So I think there's a lot of pushback about, you know, why there's a curfew when there's not much happening outside of parts of Phoenix. And even that has become a little bit more contained. So I think we have to, like, dig into, I mean, there's just so much happening at once. It's really hard to uncover all of it. But, you know, why would they exercise that curfew in all of Arizona, which is a very large state? So, but on my show, which was taped before all this happened, we talk about the other crisis, climate change, which is, you know, still there. With Margaret Klein Solomon, who's part of Climate Mobilization. She founded that, and she has a new book out. She's a clinical psychologist, and she talks about how to communicate the crisis of climate change, that it's existing now. It's really fascinating stuff because that's her background. And then we talked to Eva Putsova, who is a congressional candidate here in Arizona. She represents, or she's, you know, vying to represent the Navajo Nation, which is the hardest hit per capita in the country when it comes to COVID. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning of the show, we do talk about the protests and the crisis in leadership and a little bit how we got here and why this moment isn't different, but it kind of is different. So I get, you know, a little fired up, shocker. So you want to check that out.
It's I now. Imagine. We'll talk a little bit about the primaries that are taking place today, a little bit later in the fun half. Don't forget the Antifada. Jamie, I imagine, has been rather busy over the past couple of nights, and they have a lot to talk about this week. I mean, who knows, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow, for that matter, never mind by the end of the week. Matt, what's happening on the Literary Hangover Twitch stream?
Yeah, twitch.tv/literary hangover. I played Half-Life and we watched the 1954 BBC adaptation of George Orwell's 1984. So I don't know. I wasn't really in a mood to talk about the Wild West, so I just played 1984, and it seemed to fit the moment. So twitch.tv/literary hangover.
All right, folks, quick break. Head into the fun half. Before we do, let me remind you. Excited to introduce you to one of the coolest sponsors we've had. That's Hunt a Killer. It's a murder mystery subscription box. It's one of the most unique games out there, and it brings the fun of an escape room, which you cannot go to probably for a long time, right to your home. You go to huntakiller.com/majority, use the promo code majority at checkout for 20% off your first box. Check it out. A lot of fun. That's huntakiller.com/majority. Promo code majority. All right, quick break, fun half.
Left is best.
Jamie and I may have a disagreement.
Yeah, you can't just say whatever you want about people just because you're rich.
I have an absolute right to mock them on YouTube.
He's up there buggy whipping like he's the boss.
I am not your employer.
You know, I'm tired of the negativity.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. You're nervous, you're a little bit upset, you're riled up.
Yeah, maybe you should rethink your defense of that, you fucking idiots.
We're just going to get rid of you.
All right.
But dude. You want to smoke this joint?
Yes.
Do you feel like you are a dinosaur?
That's good shit.
Exactly. I'm happy now.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now listen to me. 2, 3, 4, 5 times. 847-906-501-457. 2, 38, 56, 27. 1/2, 5/8, 3.9 billion.
Wow.
He's the ultimate math nerd,
don't you see?
Why don't you get a real job instead of spewing vitriol and hatred, you left wing Limbaugh?
Everybody's taking their dumb juice today.
Come on, Sammy.
Dance, dance, dance. My first post-coital scene with a woman. I'm hoping to add more moves to my repertoire. All I have is the dip and the swirl.
Fine, we can double dip.
Yes, this is a perfect moment.
No.
Wait, what?
You make under $1 million a year. You're scum. You're nothing.
Excuse me? Fuck you, you fucking liberal elite. I think you belong in jail.
Thank you for saying that, Sam. You're a horrible, despicable person.
All right, going to take a quick break. I want to take a moment to talk to some of the libertarians out there. Take whatever vehicle you want to drive to the library. What you're talking about is jibber jabber.
Classic. I'm feeling more chill already. Good.
Donald Trump can kiss all of our asses.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Andy. You guys ready to do some evil?
Hitler was such an idiot.
You think I might be a Nazi?
Agree.
No.
Death to America.
You.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, that's weird. No way! Unbelievable. This guy's got a really good hook.
Throw our hands up.
Ooh.
Wow.
But Sam, I gotta get off.
No worries. Let's I wanna just flesh this out a little bit. I mean, look, it's a free speech issue. If you don't like me.
Hey, shut up!
Thank you for calling into the Majority Report. Sam will be with you shortly.